Now, have you ever noticed that some things that happen when you're a kid point towards what's going to happen when you're a grown-up? I wonder if you've noticed that. You often see parents of famous people being interviewed and saying, oh, you know, this great footballer, he was always kicking a ball about outside. What about this as an example? If I might just have my little PowerPoint up. Here we go. The little kid in the top left-hand side is Ludwig Wittgenstein, one of the world's great geniuses. He hung out in Cambridge for a while and did all sorts of fancy things. But when he was 10, his parents thought it would be a jolly wheeze to give him a box of bits. And it was mainly bits of wood and some old cogs and things like that. And they thought he'd just mess about with it and play with it. And he came back a few hours later with a working sewing machine. Can you imagine that? Look what I've made. I've made a sewing machine. Someone that the diagram you see there is someone who tried to replicate the feat. How do you make a sewing machine out of wood and a few bits and bobs? So there was a hint there that this might be a clever child. There was a hint that there was more to dear Mr. Wittgenstein than just your average kind of goings-on. What I want to say very briefly today is that in that beautiful little reading that Andrew so kindly shared with us earlier, we see all kinds of hints about Jesus right there at the beginning of his physical life among us. We see all these hints about what he is going to be about. Let me give you a couple of examples. First of all, being laid in a manger. Now, we all get used to saying, ah, the little Lord Jesus was born and he was laid in a manger. But do actually take a moment and think about what that would be like. When your baby is born, you clear out a feeding trough and he gets put in there. Everyone would be horrified. It is not a good start. It is a spectacular demonstration of extreme poverty. And Jesus, as he began his ministry, showed an incredible and a breathtaking love for the poor. He showed love and blessing to everyone. But he particularly reached out to the poor and disadvantaged and asked his followers to do the same. There was a moment when John the Baptist sent disciples and said, "Are you really the Messiah?" And Jesus famously replied to them, "Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." And so his poor beginnings pointed at an incredibly important part of his ministry. Now, what about the inn, ladies and gentlemen, the inn itself? How would you feel turning up at an inn and being told there is no room? How would you feel in those moments, if you were made to feel that unwelcome? How many of you have been made to feel unwelcome, I wonder? It's horrible. I once had a really lovely invitation. They said, "Can you come and speak at a year 10 assembly at a school?" And I was very excited. I thought, yes, I want to go and speak at this assembly. And I will share with all of the kids something about Jesus. It will be marvelous. And the head of year, a friend of mine called Pete Sewell, said, "Yes, that would be great. Come and speak at this assembly." And then guess what happened? The kids were doing wonderful things. There was this boy who was called Sam, and he was a great guitarist. And he was standing there while his friends were singing and doing all sorts of things in this wonderful end of year assembly. The kids adored him. And the big thing they were waiting for at the end was when Sam was going to do something on his own. He wasn't going to be supporting someone else. He was going to do his big song. Exciting. And then guess what? In marched the headmaster, took Mr. Sewell to one side and said to him, "You're overrunning. You've got 5 minutes, then I want you all out of this hall." So Peter said, "I want the kids to hear something of the good news. We'll cancel the rest of the show and you go out." And so he took hold of the order and he adjusted things and he gave it to the young girl who was the master of ceremonies. And do you know, this is what she did. She walked over, took it from Peter. She walked out and went, "Oh no! Sir's just cancelled Sam!" And there was like boos and jeers. She went, "And we're going to hear from somebody called Jim East." And there was more boos, like boo, no boo. And I sort of walked out and went, "Hello, children. Lovely to be here with you." Let me tell you, that was a tough crowd. It's very horrible to feel unwelcome. And yet Jesus was made to feel unwelcome. He was made to feel unwelcome when he was born. He was not extended a welcome, a warm and a lovely home. The palaces of the wealthy weren't open to him. The great homes of the religious leaders were not open to him. Everything was shut. And do you know, I want to just say to you, it isn't so different today. There are lots of places where Jesus Christ is not welcome. Where if you stand up and say, "I am a Christian," people are disappointed. And they think, "Oh dear." Let me give you an example. And it's a very quick one. Who remembers Tim Farron? Does anyone remember him? He was the leader of the Liberal Democrats. He resigned this year from his job. And this is a part of his statement. He said, "Journalists have every right to ask what they see fit. The consequences of the focus on my Christian faith is that I have found myself torn between living as a faithful Christian and serving as a political leader. A better, wiser person than me may have been able to deal with this more successfully. To have remained faithful to Christ while leading a political party in this current environment. To be a political leader, especially of a progressive liberal party in 2017, and to live as a committed Christian, to hold faithfully to the Bible's teaching, has felt impossible for me." Where is Jesus welcome? He wasn't welcome back then. Where is he welcome now? People reject the Lord. But the biggest worry is if we reject him. The biggest worry is if we don't have a welcome for the Lord. What if we don't have a welcome for him? There's a number of reasons why we may not. We might say, "Jesus isn't welcome with me," for any one of a number of reasons. But the Bible tells us something very serious indeed. It warns us, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked person forsake his way. Let the evil person his thoughts. And let this person turn to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon them. And our God will freely pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found." And I say to you all today, as a very important thing, the Lord Jesus is here. And the Lord Jesus longs to be a part of your life. And if you know him as your Lord and Savior, that's marvelous. But if you don't, if you've not yet invited him into your life, then please, let it be this Christmas time. I want to say one last thing, and it's an important point, and I always say it. Some people get the wrong idea about Christianity. They stop and they think, "Oh, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to be good." No. Being a Christian is realizing you're not good, is realizing you need help, is realizing that life could be so much more. And some people say, "Well, I'll invite Jesus into my life when I've put my life in order, when my life is spick and span. If royalty was coming to my house, I would clean it up. I'd make the toilet shiny and I'd tidy and I'd hoover and I'd do all sorts of wonderful things and it would be pleasant before I invited them in. Not the Lord Jesus, not the humble and wonderful King who comes to you. He arrives at your door, he knocks at the door of your heart, he asks to be let in, and he's wearing his marigolds. And he's carrying a hoover and a mop and a bucket. And he comes in to clean up with you. He comes in to change your life with you in the most wonderful way. There was no room for Jesus way back then. And it hinted that often there's no room today. But I pray in Jesus' name, you will all find room for him in your lives this Christmas time and always. And I pray that the Lord will bless you.